Morning. Today's daf from Pesachim is Kuf Yud. We are covering the topic of Zugos. It's fair to say that for the most part, I have a rudimentary understanding of the Gemara today. As much as I'm going to be able to read the Gemara and translate some of the words of the Gemara, and most of the words of the Gemara, my understanding of this particular topic is going to be extraordinarily limited. We're going to be dealing with esoteric issues that go well above and beyond principle. There are a couple principles in the Torah that we're going to be citing, but this issue over here is going to sound to us, it's going to feel to us superstitious in nature. Obviously, it's something that the Amoraim and Bavel were very concerned with, evidenced by the fact that an entire daf, more than a daf, is dedicated to this topic. You have precious real estate over here in the Gemara, which is dedicated, so obviously it's something that that concern them. The idea is that once you're after the number one, once you're at the number two and subsequent even numbers, so are going to be problematic. It's going to, it'll be a simon, it'll be a sign that, that something bad will occur. The concern from the Maraim standpoint is twofold. Number one, it's a concern of Mazikin. You have various forces, Shadim, which we're subject to, we're susceptible to, and so that's one issue. And the other issue is kishuf, magic and sorcery. Again, in my mind, I lump them together. I don't understand the differences between them. But nevertheless, it's a clear distinction which the Gemara is going to make. So there are multiple concerns regarding odd numbers. One of mazik and the other one is of kishuf. Okay, how are we here? How do we get to this topic of zugos? So we got to it because of the Mishnah. The first Mishnah in our perek introduced us to the idea that on Seder night, so there's an institution, a mitzvah de rabbanan of what's called dal kosos. We've been dealing with it now since the beginning of the perek. And the idea behind dal kosos is that there's an institution on Seder night to have four cups of wine spaced out over the Seder. Each one of them is said over a particular aspect of the Seder. First of the kosos is for Kiddush, second is for Magid, third is for Birchas Hamazon, fourth is for Hallel, and these Dal Kosos is a Takana de Rabbanan, it's a Mitzvah de Rabbanan. And the Gemara opened up the discussion yesterday with a very simple question. How could the Chachamim do that? They're going to make an institution that's going to carry with an even number, that's two pair. And isn't that a problem of Zugos? And aren't you inviting trouble by having an institution that has four Zugos? That has four cups of wine? That was the Gemara's question that it introduced yesterday, and that gets us into the topic of Zugos. Now, to that question, the Gemara had three answers, which quickly we're going to run through and just go over. Answer number one of the Gemara is that Seder night, Lel Shimurim, this is a time where we are going to be afforded extra protection. This extra protection of the Seder night is going to be able to protect us from any bad forces that would be incited by having an even number of cups. Second answer of the Gemara is that third of the kosos, that's benching. That's a koshal bracha. Koshal bracha, mitzarif l'tova v'ena mitzarif l'ra. That can't get you, it will get you to an even number, but not a bad even number. In other words, if the even number, number four, is coming after koshal bracha, so that's not an even number that we have to worry about. That's the Rashbam's explanation yesterday. And you're going to hear that expression a couple of times this morning. The third answer of the Gemara was Ravina. Ravina says, you're looking at the dal kosos all wrong. It's not four cups of wine. It is four cups of wine. Now, if you were listening carefully, it sounded like I said the same thing, but we don't view them as a sum. We view them independently. Each bracha, bifne atzmo, is its own separate mitzvah. So the first cup of wine, that's one separate mitzvah. Second cup of wine, that's a second separate mitzvah. Each one of them are independent mitzvahs, and as a result of that, they're not mitzvahs. They just simply don't combine to get us to our even numbers. Those are the four answers that were provided. I'm sorry, those were the three answers provided by the Gemara in terms of why we're not worried about the dal kosos on Seder night. We're picking up right where we left off yesterday. Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, top line. The Gemara. The Gemara goes back to a brisa that we saw yesterday. The brisa yesterday, if you recall, short Amud Beis of yesterday. Lo yochal adam treva, lo yishta treva, lo yikanech treva, lo yaset tzarachav trei. So things that should not be done in pairs, again, because it's an even number, and it's zugos. I said this yesterday, I mentioned it again today. I said it already in the introduction, my understanding of all this is extraordinarily limited in terms of what the issue is and how to articulate what exactly the issue is. But as a general idea, we pointed out yesterday, so the issue is Achdus, Yichud Hashem, meaning the number one obviously signifies the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So when you're talking about a singularity, so that's something that is representative of Kadosh Baruch Hu. But once you introduce a second, so a sheni, so at that point in time, so then we are obviously dividing that singularity. And so it takes us away from the achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the singularity, the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I pointed out yesterday. I'll repeat it again today. But again, it's just it's barely an understanding of what's happening over here, but it's something. Anyway, lo yasa tzrach of trei. So we're going back to the brisa yesterday of things that cannot be done in pairs. Don't eat things in pair. Don't drink things in pair. Don't wipe yourself in pairs, meaning after having gone to the bathroom. And yasa tzrach of is a reference to intimacy. So the Gemara says, lo yasa tzrach of trei, amai nimlachu. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. That's not considered to be done in pairs. It's one, and then it's the second time they're independent one of the other. So I'm Rabbi Achikam, so Rabbi says, that's not pshat in the brisa. Let me tell you what pshat in the brisa is. Lo yochel trei. And now in our Gemara, the next word we have is v'yishta, but probably the girsa we're going to go with is on the side. V'yaset tzrachav. V'lo yishta trei v'yaset tzrachav. And basically the Abai's understanding is as follows. So once you drink in pairs, so now you become vulnerable. Now you've exposed yourself to zugos. And then if afterwards you do something like have tashmish is something that wears the body out. So if you do that after having made yourself vulnerable, that puts you in even more vulnerable position. So afilo pamachas, even just having intimacy with your wife one time, but after having exposed yourself to the zugos, so that puts yourself in a vulnerable position, because you're already weakened, and now you're going to become even more weakened, and the zugos are going to have an easier influence on you. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Shosik Yiflaim Dama B'Rosho. So you drink in pairs, so basically, you put your head in your own hands. The Rashbam explains. Meimis Atzma, it's basically suicide. If you drink in pairs. Amar Rav Yehuda, Emesleb, Izman Shalom, Ra Pnei Ashok. Aval Ra Pnei Ashok, Harishos Biyadam. Now, Rav Yehuda points out, that's only if you don't go out and see the marketplace. Meaning, if you put some sort of hefsek between drink number one, drink number two, so that separates the two drinks, then you're no longer considered within an even number. Am Ravashi Chazina le Rav Chanina Barbivi da Akol Kasa Have Nafik V'chaze Ape Shukam. So, and Ravashi says that I watched Rabbi Chananya ben Bibi. I was Meshamash Talmid Chachamim, and I watched his behavior. And with every cup that he drank, so he went out, he took a look at the marketplace, he basically wanted to create separation between the cups so that it will not aggregate to get to zugos. Now, when you are under this influence of zugos, when is that concerned? That's only if you're going out of your house. Meaning if after having drunk the zugos, then you go ahead and you go outside, so then it's going to be an issue, concern of zugos. Then you have to worry about this vulnerability. However, if you're going to stay inside your house, then it's not a concern. Now, going to bed is like going outside. Meaning, going outside, you're basically exposing yourself to the elements and under the influence of zugos, that's bad. And the same thing, says Rabbi Zera, is when you go to sleep. When you go to sleep, so you're also putting yourself now in a more vulnerable position. So therefore, if you're going to sleep after having experienced zugos, that's also a bad thing. Rapapa adds to that, they're going to the bathroom. Remember, going to the bathroom, it's an outhouse. So that it means that you're going to be going out of your house. So that's also considered like going out into the market. And if you did so under the influence of zugos, That's a bad thing. Well, Vaveso Lo, the Gemara says, now, you're telling me that if I had zugos, but I remain indoors, so I'm not really putting myself in a dangerous position, but the Gemara says, but please consider. I'm going to rattle off, says the Gemara, 3 episodes where I find Amorayim being concerned about zugos, even though they're not leaving their house. Rava Mani Kishori, Rava would count the beams of his house, meaning with every drink that he drank at his house. So what he would do is he would look at a beam and mark off in the beam. I don't mean physically mark off, or maybe he did, but he would mark off with a beam exactly which drink he's up to, and he would keep count of the drinks by counting the beams, and even though he didn't leave his house. Abai kishasu chad kase mankele ime tre kase betre yade. Abaye with his first drink that he drank. So what mom would do is that, and we say mom, by the way, by Abaye, we know that it's not his maternal mother. It means his, the mother, the woman who raised him. He was an orphan. So what she would do is she would hold two drinks in her hand. And basically now, from that first drink going forward, so now by mom presenting two drinks at a time, so now he'd always not be, he'd always know that he's on an odd number of drinks by drinking the two drinks, presented to him by his mother. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Avishasi Trei Kasi Mankele Shmaya Chad Kasa. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, when he would drink two cups of wine, so his attendant would be holding a third cup of wine. And again, each one of them had the strategy to know that they were on an odd number, not an even number. And Chad Kasa Mankele Trei Kasi Betrei Yadei. And if he, this is the third Amora that we just referenced, Rav Nachman Yitzchak. And if he were to be drinking one cup, so his attendant would be holding two cups. Again, all this to make sure that they're an odd number, not an even number. All this is the Gemara's now formulation of a question. How can you tell me that if you stay indoors, it's not a problem? Meanwhile, three Amoraim, each one of them drank, each one of them made sure they were an odd number, not an even number, and each one of them were still in their house. And they were still concerned. So the Gemara says, Adam Chashav Shani, yeah, but they're an Adam Chashav. As an Adam Chashav, so they become even more susceptible and more vulnerable. The Mazikin, these harmful forces, so they enjoy creating havoc for everybody, but they have a particular affinity to attacking Talmidei Chachamim. And so when you have these Talmidei Chachamim, so even though they're in their house, they still have to be worried about Zugos because it's something that they're on a higher level and they become even more susceptible. Amar Ula. Okay, the Gemara now is going to talk about limits. There's limits to the idea of Zugos because obviously if the issue is just an even number, so any even number can become an issue and there's a infinite number of even numbers. And is there a limit to the number of even numbers that we're talking about? Amar Ula Sarakosa Sein Behemishim Zugos. So Ula says that if you have 10 cups of wine, and that's not subject to Zugos. Ula Tamid Amar Ula Vamrilei Bemasisa Tana Sarakosa Tiknu Chachamim Beveisa Avel. Now the Gemara notes over here, Ula is being consistent with the position that he said, or we learned in Ebraisa, which is that in the Beis Avel, so there was a Takana institution to have 10 cups of wine. Right? The Gemara in Ksuvos, describes this, the 10 cups of wine, I know sounds like a lot. But again, obviously back in the day, drinking wine was basically the beverage. That was the drink that everybody drank. So at the Beis Avel, in terms of helping, deal with the loss, so there was an institution to have 10 cups of wine. Now, 10 cups of wine obviously is an even number. And we're talking about an institution. Aren't they worried about even numbers? So that's the Gemara saying, Ula saying that 10 is the limit. Meaning that 8 is the last even number that you need to worry about. 10, you no longer need to worry about. And obviously anything above 10 as well. Okay, so the Gemara just simply points out, it must be that the Chachamim were not worried about the number 10 and above, otherwise they wouldn't have instituted 10 cups of wine in the Beis Avel. 8 is the last even number you need to worry about. Rav Chista v'Rava b'Rav Huna d'Ami Tavayu Shalom l'tova mitzarif l'ra lo mitzarif. Now, the way Rav Chista and Rava Bar Huna articulate it is that the Shalom, now Shalom is the last of the three brachas of Birchus Kohanim. V'yasem l'cha Shalom. If you count it up, there are 7 words in the last bracha. 3 in the first bracha, 5 words in the second bracha, 7 words in the third bracha. So now, considering the fact that Shalom is the 7th word of the third bracha of Birchas Kohanim, so that means that 7 now, what follows 7 is the number 8. 8 is a number that you need not concern with. Because since 7 is a bracha of Birchas Kohanim, so therefore the number that follows is not going to be an even number that we need to worry about. Simply put, what Rav Chista and Rava Bar Rav Huna is pointing out is that 6 is the limit, 8 you don't have to worry about. Aval shisa yesh b'hem mishum zugos. But 6 obviously is the number you need to worry about. Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Amri Tarvayu v'chuneka. L'tova mitzarif la'arba lo mitzarif. Now, you're going to see the trend over here that, no, v'chuneka. The second bracha in Birchus Kohanim, which ends on the number 5, so 5 words in that bracha. So that means to say that since 6 follows 5, and since 5 is a bracha of Birchus Kohanim, So therefore, six you don't have to worry about, which means, of course, of arba yesh ben mishum zugos, but four you do have to worry about. Abai v'rava dami tavayu, abai and rava both say, v'yishmerecha l'tova mitzarf l'ram lo mitzarev. So v'yishmerecha, which is, right, you probably saw this coming. V'yishmerecha is the first of the brachas, which has three words in it. So therefore, that third word is l'tova, and therefore the number that follows, number four, is not a number that we need to be worried about. Now this is Rava being consistent with his position. Now every time that that Rava hosted and excused the Chachamim, he would always present four cups of wine. Afagav di Itzik Rava Bar Levi. Now the Gemara tells us that there was an episode, one anecdote, where Rava Bar Levi, after having drunk four cups at the house of Rava, now he was injured, but lo chashle lemilse, but that didn't bother Rava. In other words, Rava did not attribute that to the Zugos. So Rava says, look, this Rava Bar Levi, in Shir, it was difficult to deal with in Shir. He asked me questions. He embarrassed me in public in Shir and for being Mevaza Talmidei Chachamim. So that's why he got punished. And it had nothing to do with the Zugos. Okay. A couple things before we go on in the Gemara. So you'll notice a trend, obviously. I mean, it's a simple and easy trend over here. As we go down the Amoraim, so we said that the limit is 10, and then a limit is 8, and then the limit is 6, and then the limit is 4, and what's happening over here? Basically, if you make the observation, the Rashbam didn't make this observation, and I could be right about this, but if you look carefully over here, you'll see that we're basically going forward chronologically in terms of the Tkufas HaAmoraim. Meaning, take a look over here, where we start with Ula. That's, he's a first generation Amora. And then the next Amoraim are Rav Chista and Rava bar Rav Huna. Rav Chista was a Talmud of Rav. So let's call him a second generation Amora. Then we have Rav and Rav Yosef. That's the next generation Amoraim. Then we have Abai and Rav. That's the next generation of Amoraim. And basically what's happening is that as you're moving forward in history for throughout the period of the Amoraim, so each one of them is narrowing the scope of what Zugos we have to worry about. And basically, Zugos is becoming less and less of a concern. Okay, and probably, maybe. Now I'm going to downgrade this to a maybe, not a probably. Maybe this has to do with the idea of Niskatnu Adaros, meaning that as the generations continue and proceed, so they feel themselves to be on a lower spiritual plane and therefore Zugos is also less of a concern, meaning that it's always a balanced playing field, meaning the forces of Tahara are going to always be matched by the forces of Tumah. And as you're progressing through the period of the Amoraim, so they're just worried less and less. That's a reasonable observation. Again, I could be right about that. Also, let's consider the following. And that we just learned together that according to Rava, what's Rava's limits of Zugos? He's not even worried about four. Rava's not worried about the number four. Why? Because Yishmerecha, the first bracha of Birchas Kohanim, and on the third word. And so therefore the next, number three is Latova. So therefore you don't have to worry about number four. So the Rashbam points out over here, I don't understand. Go back to what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. Meaning the Gemara asked the question, Dalet Kosas on Seder night. That's a concern, right? And the Gemara says, yes, it is a concern. How can the Chachamim institute that? And the Gemara gives three answers. You'll know that answer number two is Rava. Rava says, oh, the third bracha is a kosher bracha, meaning it's benching, and therefore the fourth bracha is not one we have to concern ourselves about. We just learned in our Gemara right over here that according to Rava, four is a number you never have to worry about. So how come above Rava doesn't just simply consistently say that, look, four is not a number we have to worry about? So what happens? So the Rashbam says over here, the Rashbam you're going to find in Dibra Maschel Rava Afkinum Be'arba'a. So the Rashbam writes over here because when it comes to Zugos, so there are two separate concerns. There's a concern of Zugos of Mazikin, of Shadim, and there's a concern of Zugos as it relates to Kishuf. So when it comes to the Mazikin and Shadim, so that's Rava basically saying four is not a number we need to be concerned about. But when it comes to Kishim, when it comes to sorcery, so even by four you have to worry about, Rava previously was answering for Kishuf. He wasn't answering for the Shadim. In fact, if you go back to yesterday's daf and you look at the Rashbam from yesterday, he also makes this point, right? It's good, 2 days in a row. But obviously we have to compare yesterday's daf to today's daf. And he writes second to last line of Kuf Chesam and Beis. So le'inik shafim miyach hayshinan lekamen b'shmaiten. right? We're worried about Kishuf, meaning when Rava was answering about the Dal Kosis yesterday and giving an explanation, he was responding to it vis-a-vis Kishuf, not vis-a-vis Mazikin and Shadim. Okay, so it's a clear distinction again to you and I, and I'll speak for myself. So it's near impossible to understand that. We don't understand either of these influences, Kishuf and Mazikin, but clearly that's a distinction to be made between yesterday's daf and today's daf. Okay, we are back to the Gemara. We're continuing now in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, about three quarters of the way down, and Kuf Yud Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Li Yosef Shidash Mandai. So Rav Yosef now has a conversation with one of the head shadim. Okay, so right. So these kinds of conversations take place throughout the Amorayim, and so he's not only having conversation, but he's getting inside information. Malka Deshidim Amunahu Akule Zuge. Umaka lo ikre mazik. As far as the king of the Shadim are concerned, so the king of the Shadim, so he'll always sub out his the damages that are done by a mazikin, but the melech himself, he's not a mazik. So the king basically is presiding over all of it, but he himself does not create any of the hezek. Now ikadamri. Now in another version, we're going to hear the exact opposite. As far as the king of the Mazikin is concerned, so he's angry, he rages. And Maidabai Avid, and he does whatever he wants, meaning he doesn't work with any kind of system. He may in fact operate outside the system. The Gemara here quotes what we saw together in Sanhedrin. The idea that a king can basically create roads wherever he wants, eminent domain. And so as a result of that, the same thing is true regarding the melech of the Mazdikin. Amar Rapapa Amar Li Yosef Shida. So Rapapa says that he was told the following by Yosef Ashade. Okay, seemingly the same one that Rav Yosef spoke to. So Rapapa also conversed with him and said the following. Betrei Katlin Barba Lo Katlinin Barba Maskina. Now, when you're dealing with the even number of the number two, for that, so the Rishus is given to the Mazdikin to kill. For the number four, just damage but not kill. Betray ben b'shogi ben b'mezid. Now, when it comes to the number two, so there, even if it was done inadvertently, still reshus b'yadam, they have permission to go ahead and to inflict. However, ba'ar ba'a b'mezid in b'shogi glo. But with the number four, only if it was done b'mezid, not b'shogi. V'ish tali v'ikre v'nafek ma'itakante. Now, let's say you forgot, and it happens to be that you went outside. What should you do? Is there any way to mitigate the influence of the zugos? So the Gemara says, yes, there's a way to do so. Linko zakfa diade diamina biyada dismole, vizakfa dismole biyada diamine. Take your right thumb, put into the fist, into your left fist. Take your left thumb, put into your right fist. And v'nei ma'achi, and this is what you should say, asan va'ana, hatlasa, you and I, that makes three. Okay, so somehow, as if I understood this, which I don't, but as if I understood this. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to somehow focus on an odd number. Now let's say he counters by saying, hey, you know what? The number four. And basically now we're going to go ping pong back and forth where you're going to be focusing on an odd number and the mazik's going to focus on the even number. So name alay, ason va'ana chamisha. So then you go up to the number five. Ishmi alay da'amar ason va'ana hashisa. Name alay, ason va'ana hashiva. You just keep going up where he goes to an even number and you're going to go to the subsequent odd number. Have uvda ad mea v'chadu pakashide. There was an incident where a back and forth between one of the Amoraim and a Mazik, and they went up to the number 101. And at that point in time, the Mazik lost it. Literally, he lost it. He blew up. Amar Amema Amrele Rishisainu Danashe Kashfanios. Amema says, I'll also give you some information. I spoke to one of the chief witches. So over here, the Gemara now is just simply shifting a little bit from Mazikin to Kishuf. And again, as we pointed out, those are two different influences, which are things that we have to look out for. And so Amemar had a conversation with the head of the witches, and Haiman de Pagabu Benashim Kashfanius Nimahachi. Now, if you happen to encounter a witch, so this is the incantation you should say. I'll read, I'll translate. That's the best I can do this morning. Chari Chamima Bedikule Bazia. So, hot excrement in a basket that's worn out. Lufumai Chanashi Decharshaihu. So she go to the mouth of this woman who's trying to cast her spell. Karach Parchaihu. So, you should lose your hair. and the wind should take the breadcrumbs that you have in front of you. Apparently, breadcrumbs was part of their potions and tools, if you will, in which they can create their magic. Top of the Amud Beis, Ivor Tavlanaichel. All your spices should blow away. Parchazika lemaraika charata. The wind should take away your saffron, your brand new saffron. Did naktino nashim kashvanios that these witches use. Ad chanani vechananchi lo asiso lego. And if I had favor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, I would never have met you to begin with. Meaning, obviously, I fell out of favor with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why I'm here in front of you. But Hasha Da'asisu Lego, Kar Chanani V'Chananani, Chananchi. But now that I'm here, so I really need I need Siyata Deshmaya. I need some assistance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parenthetically, by the way, the way I presented it is the Rashbam's first explanation. If you want more on just trying to translate the incantation, you can go to the Rashbam for an even separate explanation of what the incantation means. But being that I barely understood the first pshat, I'm ready to go on. Okay, the Gemara now is going to give us some klalim, some general rules regarding the zugos and our need to be concerned about it. Meaning the Gemara up until now, extraordinarily detail oriented. Remember, the precious real estate. Being devoted to this topic, obviously the Amoraim and Bavel felt this to be an important topic. But at the same time, however, the Gemara now is going to give us some rules. And one of the rules, as we're going to see in just a moment, is that, you know what, don't worry so much about it. Which I know, it's mixed messaging. Meaning, don't worry about it. But meanwhile, an entire daf, which all this falls under the category of Limud HaTorah and Akim and Tam HaTorah and a day in the daf, and it's not just a day, tomorrow also, we're going to speak a little bit more about Zugos. So it's going to be a balance between the Gemara's telling us worry about it and don't worry about it. Okay, so we're going to hear some Kolim. So first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, so they didn't worry about this at all. No explanation given in the Gemara. It happens to be that this topic of Zugos you're only going to find here in the Bavli, not because I went through the Yushalmi, but I saw sources that wrote this. So sorry, I don't have a Maramakum, but this issue is not discussed in the Yushalmi. And it's only discussed in the Bavli, so this is obviously something they were not concerned with in Eretz Yisrael. That's number one. And Rav Dimi Menarda Kapit Afilu Arushama de Chavisa. So, and Rav Dimi Menarda, so when he would be makbid even on measuring barrels. In other words, when marking off for measuring of the barrel, he would always end on an odd number. He would not end on an even number. Have the uvdo paka chavisa. There was an incident once, and the barrel blew up, presumably because it ended on an even number. Called the most of the Gemara says, and let me present the following as a general rule. Called the kapid kapte ba'adev, the lo kapid lo kapte ba'adev. It's going to be commensurate. The amount of anxiety that you give to Zugos is the amount that it's actually going to influence you. And the less you worry about it, the less it's going to influence you. And the Rashbam over here, I'll read the Rashbam inside. The Rashbam over here is on the right column. There's no Tosfos on the Samud. Kind of understandable. There's no, right. This is not classic Gemara. But anyway, the Rashbam writes over here, I'm reading it, Dibra Maschel called the Kapit, right column. Yosemi dai kapti ba'ade, hashedim laziko. Udalo kapi kokach lo kapti ba'ade lehaziko. Good. So just simple pshat of what we just read. The more you worry about it, the more you become vulnerable to it. Umi lemechash mi baye. Now I should have read that in the Gemara, sorry. Right. I just quickly go back to the Gemara, glance back at the Gemara. Umi lemechash mi baye. The Gemara says, But you need to be aware of it. There has to be some awareness of it. Now, back to the Rashbam. Umihu lemechash mibaya filu man delo kapin delo kaptina maday. Even if you're somebody who is more relaxed in nature and you're not worried about the zugos, but still there has to be some sort of general awareness. Deitema delo kapit by de klal inkein zugos lama nizkuru bigamara. And here the Rashbam says it. Meaning, you can't say it's nothing because why are we spending an entire day talking about this? So, kach ayel mechachamim lomar lo yizayir adam bezugos lo likaptu ba'adei. By virtue of the fact that we find it over here in the Gemara, that means that even for the person that is not concerned about this, but you still have to have some sort of base awareness of this issue. But again, with balance, meaning with the understanding that the less you focus on it, the less it's going to affect you and influence you. But at least be knowledgeable about it. Back to the Gemara. So in terms of a list of foods which you need to be worried about zugos, so that would be two eggs, two nuts, and two either cucumber, zucchini, and there's something else. Now, of course, wouldn't we like to know what that something else is? So halach l'moshe misinai, the Gemara uses a really unusual phrase to describe this. Halach l'moshe misinai. Okay, it's hard to say that the Gemara means it literally, but you could say that. Anyway, but the point is that these are traditions that we have. Of the foods that are really subject to zugo, so three foods that were mentioned, and there's something else. And the Gemara says, now, what is that something else? So the Gemara says, you know what? I don't know. Now, because anything is eligible to become davar acher, so therefore, you have to be worried about all foods, in terms of it. Now, generally speaking, if it's only one other food that made it to the list, so probability wise, whatever food it is, it's not going to be that food. So I would suggest, but I'm just suggesting, I'm not saying I'm right. I would suggest that, maybe this is a sakana issue, and we generally know sakana chamura mi'isura, that when you were talking about something that is dangerous to our lives, so that we're more cautious about it than we would be by Isser. By Isser, we say bitul barov, right? With a 33% chance that I'm going to be eating Isser, so you're allowed to eat it, meaning there's bitul over there. But over here, even though it's one other food that made it to the list, and one other food out of the entire population of foods, and yet we have to worry, so I would suggest it's because this is a sakana, we're just going to be more cautious. Now remember on the Amud Aleph of today's daf where we said, don't worry about the number 10, number 8, number 6, number 4, right? And as we moved ahead in the Amoraim, so each one of them told us less and less to worry. That's only from the category of mazik and of shadim. But when it comes to kishuv and sorcery, so that's something you do need to worry about. Okay, good. And now this is the Gemara that we referenced earlier this morning, that where the Gemara clearly is making a distinction between mazikin versus kishuv. When it comes to mazikin, so less and less we need to worry about. But when it comes to kishuv, it's still a concern. The Gemara tells the following story. A man divorced his wife, Azel, and she married the store owner in the town. So now he would go in to the store in order to have a drink. Okay, yeah, obviously an awkward interaction, right? The ex-husband with the new husband, and they're drinking together. I don't know, together might not be a great way to say it, but anyway, but he's drinking in the new husband's store, and obviously the ex-wife, so she's casting spells. I know that's normally how the relationship goes between the exes, but she's casting a spell. The Gemara over here means it literally. She's casting a spell, v'lomahanyala bay. However, it didn't affect him, didn't influence him, because when he drank, he always made sure to end on an odd number. Now one day, so he drank an exceptional amount, and he just lost track, right? That's the problem with drinking, with the drinks made up of alcohol. You're gonna end up forgetting. For the first 16 drinks, he was able to keep track to make sure that he wouldn't end on an even number. Okay, sounds impressive. He made it 16 drinks in while still being lucid. However, mikan ve'elach lo havitzayil, but from that point going forward, so that's it. His lucidity was gone. V'lo izar b'nafshei, and he just simply was not careful anymore. Afikte bezuge, and so what ended up happening is that he ended up on an even number, making him now totally susceptible to the influences of kishuf. And now she cast her spell on him. So kiava azol gazbei haUtayo amalei gaver ketila hu daazol hacha. And as he left, so he encountered an Arab, and the Arab just saw right on his face. He's like, oh boy, you are in trouble. And so he saw the Arab had the kind of sensitivity where he was able to see that a spell was successfully cast on this guy. Azol chafke ledikle. This guy now went ahead and he hugged a tree. Tzavach dikle upakahu. So the tree dried up and he exploded and she was successful in casting a spell because he ended up drinking an even number. Amar Rav Avira, The Gemara now is going to give us more rules regarding zugos. Ka'arusu v'kikarus en ben mishum zugos. So when you're talking about plates, when you're talking about loaves, so it's not going to be subject to zugos. Klal of the milsa. The Gemara says here, I'm going to give you now, this is our second klal this morning, regarding zugos. And that is kol shegamru bidei adam ein ben mishum zugos. Gamru bidei shamayim b'milei mina demechal chayshinan. Anything that's man-made, right, that was put together, fashioned together, and was a creation of man, so that's not subject to zugos. But anything that's natural, right, like what we described earlier, eggs and cucumbers, so things that are naturally produced, naturally manufactured, so that is going to be subject to zugos. Chanus ein behem mishum zugos. Now, when it comes to a chanus, so that is not going to be subject to zugos. What does that mean, chanus? The Rashbam over here offers two explanations. The first explanation of the Rashbam, im shasa b'shtei chaniyos lo aminan kishnei kosos dami. Right, you have one drink in one bar, and you go to another bar, and so they're not going to be mitzari flashon acher v'ikar. The Rashbam says, but I'll give you another pshat, which I really think is the correct pshat. And that is chanus hashoseh bozugos lo kapte mazikin aleh delav kviyusa hi. If you're just going to the chanus to have a drink, so that's not considered a koveya, meaning that doesn't really take the two drinks and put them together. A kviyus is when you are at your house, at your table. So that's a kviyus, and that could be considered the number two. But drinking on the run, so to say, in the market, so that's not considered a kviyus, and that won't get you to zugos. Nimlach ein behem yishum zugos. Now, if you have a drink and then at the time you said just one, and then you change your mind, you have your second drink, that also is not zugos, because zugos is where by design you had a pair. Orech ein bo mishum zugos. Now, if you're a guest in somebody's house, so that, and even though you had two drinks, that's not considered zugos. And even though, by the way, earlier, Rava did give his talmidim to drink, and they were worried about zugos, and obviously that doesn't seem to agree with what we're learning right now, but I guess you could say that the Talmud by the Rebbe is not considered an oreach. Okay, maybe you could suggest that. Anyway, oreach embo mishum zugos. So a guest is not somebody that has to worry about zugos. Because again, the idea is that when you're a guest, you don't really know you're going to be having two cups. And so therefore, that's not a kvias, and therefore that's not the number two you need to worry about. Isha embo mishum zugos v'im isha chashuva chashinan. Now, a woman also, her drinking is not considered a koveya, and therefore it's not considered number two, but if she's in Isha Chashuva, so then, we do have to worry about this. So this is now the second time in our parak, we're making a distinction between Isha Chashuva, right? Does the Isha have to do Haseba? So we learned a couple days ago. The answer is no, but if she's in Isha Chashuva, then the answer is yes. Okay. Amra v'chinana b'rei, the Rabbi Yeshua, Yisbargus, Mitzarf l'tov, v'veim, Mitzarf l'ra'a. So the Yisbargus drink, we're gonna hear about it a couple times throughout Shas. Right? It was made up from cabbage, and it was therapeutic. And because the drink by nature was therapeutic, so therefore, that doesn't get us to it's not going to get us to an even number. Meaning even if it is the even numbered drink, but because it's such a beneficial drink, it's such a good drink, good meaning it's therapeutic, so therefore it doesn't get us to an even number. Amar avinu mishmei derava, zugele chamra ve'amrele zugele kula. Now, What does this line of Ravina mean? So basically it's like this. Let's say you drank and you drank multiple drinks and you totally lost count. So what should you do? So your two options over here is either just stop or have one more. Well, obviously it's a probability and you have lost, you lost all count. So the probability is that basically we're dealing with a 50-50. So by adding one more drink or by not adding one more drink, how does that help? So the way the Rashbam explains it, is that the, look, if there are two approaches, by the way. One approach is that don't have another drink, and the other approach is to have another drink. So the way the Rashbam explains it is that the approach of being makel and not having another drink, so that's good. Why? Because if you, in fact, were to add one more drink, that shows that you are, that you're concerned, that you're a makbid. And like we said earlier on this amud, the more you're makbid, the more it's going to influence you. So by you just, you have no idea how many drinks that you have, but by you electing not to have an additional drink, so that's a clear indication that you're not makpid, and that explains the approach of not having another drink. And what about the other approach? What about the approach to be machmir? So there the Rashbam explains, because look, at this point in time, what are your two options? Either you ended on even or you ended on odd. So, If you don't have another drink and you ended on Zuko, so that's going to be a problem. So the, now if you add another drink, so if you ended with even, so then problem solved. If you ended on odd, well, what you could say is that this additional drink I'm going to have over here only is there to help me, not to hurt me. So in other words, I don't want it to be used towards an even. I just want to use it only if I ended on even. And so therefore you can basically, compartmentalize this additional drink that you're going to have. Okay. So basically two different approaches in terms of what you should do in the event that you lost count. Amar of Yosef, we're towards the bottom of the Amud, we're almost done. Amar of Yosef, trade the chamer, v'chad d'shecher l'mitzarif. Let's say you have two cups of wine, followed then by a beer. So 2 + 1, so that's 3, so the Gemara says no, it's not going to be mitzarif. Why? Because beer is not as good as quality as wine. So so in other words, to get to an odd number, you have to have that third cup being wine, not beer. Now, how about, let's go in the other direction. Trade d'shecher, v'chad d'chamer, mitzarif. If you have two cups of beer and then followed by one cup of wine, that's good. Meaning that gets you to number 3 because the wine is of better quality, and so therefore you can add it to the 2 beers. V'siman chazeh aklal kol ha-mechuber lo min ha-chamor mimenu tamei min ha-kal mimenu tahor. And here the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Kalim, right? The 26th parak of Kalim, 26th or 27th. Okay, I didn't look it up. But anyway, and my eyesight, oof. So, but we are... in the Mishnah and Kalim. So this is a crash course. This is, right. The Rashbam here does go through a lot of it. So depending on the material that will inform us in terms of what the basic amount of fabric you need in order for that swatch to be Mekabel Tumah. And so let's say I have, right. The Rashbam over here gives the example. The Rashbam gives the example. You have a machatzelas, where the shear for the machatzelas, it's a mat made up of reeds. So there the shear is 5 by 5. So, and it's not going to be mekabel tumah until you have an amount of 5 by 5. So let's say now I add material to it. So what material is going to be mitzarif? Only a material that is either going to be of the same material or something that has a higher threshold, meaning that less of it is going to be mekabel tumah. So in other words, if I attach something that's more significant, so then it's going to be mitzarif. But if I attach something less significant, so then it's not going to be mitzarif. Similarly over here, same idea, that wine to beer is considered an attachment, and therefore going to get you to an odd number. But beer to wine is not considered an attachment. Let's just do a little bit more this morning. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Trey, Kamitaka, Vechada, Taka, Mitzarfe. Let's say we drank 2 cups of wine before the tables taken, brought out. Remember back in the day? So the tables were not these large tables, but they were tray tables. And so let's say before the tables were taken out, meaning dinner was served. So let's say we had 2 cups before dinner. And then the tables was taken out. That's Mitzarf, meaning that's 3. However, Chadmi, Kamitaka, Vechada, Taka, Lo, Mitzarfinan. So, but if you had 1 before the table was taken out and 2 after the table was taken out, that's not going to be mitzarif. The 1 cup beforehand is not considered significant. So, maskal av mishar she'atu anan l'tikune taka ka be'inan l'tikune gavra be'inan v'gavra ka mitkan v'kai. So, over here, what are we focusing on the table for? The table's inconsequential, meaning we're looking at the person and how many drinks did he have? If he had 3 drinks, regardless of where 2 was had before the table was taken out, 1 was had before the table taken out, doesn't matter. Just look at the number of drinks that he had. So the Gemara says, "Dekuli ama trei atak vechad lebasa atak lo mitzarfe." So the Gemara says, but here's what we can all agree to. We can all agree to the fact that if 2 was drunk during the meal while the table was out, and 1 was drunk after the table was out, that's not going to be mitzarif. And Kihahi Maisa de Rava Bar Nachmani, and the Gemara over here makes reference to the episode of Rava Bar Nachmani. What's the episode of Rava Bar Nachmani? So it's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Basically what they had to do, he had 2 cups during the meal, they took the table away, and he became vulnerable. And what they had to do is they had to bring the table back so that when he has an additional cup, so that could be mitzarif, and that can get him to an odd number. Okay, this will be a wonderful landing spot for today's daf. Tomorrow we pick it up on the very bottom. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Okay, let's quickly recap our day today. So obviously got into the topic of Zugos. So number one, what are going to be the conditions in which Zugos are going to be concerned? So the having odd numbers. So when is it something that we need to be worried about? So that was the first part of today's daf. Various Amoraim cited their concerns about whether you go outdoors, whether you go out to the outhouse, whether you go to sleep, or what if you're just going to stay inside your house. And under certain circumstances, it's a worry. Under other circumstances, it's not a worry. There were certain Amoraim were worried even though they were remaining indoors. Yeah, but they were Adam Chashav, they were different. Number two, a second topic of discussion. What's going to be the limit of Zugos? Meaning, up to what even number do we have to worry about? So here we basically go through the Tkufas Amoraim. Ula said, 10 is the limit. Don't worry about 10. 8 you need to worry about. And Rav Chista and Rav Abba Rav Huna says, 8 you don't need to worry about, 6 you do. Rav and Rav Yosef says, 4 you need to worry about, but 6 you don't. And Rava and Abaye both say, you don't have to worry about the number 4. You only need to worry about the number 2. Okay. And as the Rashman points out, that was all as it relates to Mazikin. But by Kishuf, you always have to worry about when it comes to Kishuf. Okay. The next discussion of the Gemara, the Melech HaMazikin, does he get involved? Some say yes, some say no. Strategies, and in terms of warding off the Mazikin and warding off the Kishuf. So that took us to the bottom of the Amud Aleph. As we turn to the Amud Beis, so in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't worried about Zugos at all. So in other words, this is strictly a Bavli discussion, and you will not find this in the Yerushalmi, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, we're not worried about Zugos. Our next topic of the Daf was basically Mazikin versus Kishuf, meaning there are two different damaging forces. One is Mazikin, the other one is Kishuf, and the Gemara separates the two, even where Mazikin is not a concern, but still Kishuf needs to be concerned. Anything that's man-made, formed by human, had human intervention, is not going to be subject to Kishuf. That's one of the klalim that we learned in the Daf. And then certain people simply do not need to worry about Kishuf. If you change your mind, meaning you had a cup and you then decided to have another cup, but you weren't planning on it, not a concern. A guest doesn't have to worry about it. A woman doesn't have to be concerned about it. Something that is drunk for therapeutic purposes is not going to be concerned. What if you lost count? What do you do under those circumstances? Do you add a drink? Do you not add a drink? The Gemara gave two different viewpoints on what to do. And in terms of being mitzarev, meaning if I have, let's say, two cups of wine followed by a beer, it's not going to be mitzarev. Two cups of beer followed by wine, that is going to be mitzarev. And finally, cups during the meal, cups before the meal. Mitzarev, yes or no? Machlokis. Cups after the meal, for sure, are not going to be mitzarev. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here.